The Holy Gospel appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 20th chapter, verses 9 through 20. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that it is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. To have the same goal St. Paul had in his life and ministry, to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ in our own walk and faith in him as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds today, that we may also press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words that I would like to share with you today is taken from the epistle lesson appointed for this Sunday, the letter of Paul to the Philippians, the third chapter, with special attention to verses 13 and 14. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, if I were to ask you this morning, do people know who we are? What would you say right now? Just stop and think about it for just a moment. Yes, do other people know who we are? I would submit to you this morning that most people don't know who we are, do they? No, they don't. As a matter of fact, most people only know us by our first and last name. Where we live, or where we work, and perhaps even where we go to church on a Sunday morning. But that's about it, isn't it? Yes, it is. Very few people know who you are and who I am, except, of course, for our immediate family, our parents, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, and perhaps even some very close friends of ours. As a matter of fact, as your pastor here at Shepherd in the Pines, I don't know who you are either, do I? No, I don't. Except for your name, your address, your phone number, because it is listed in the church directory. And unless you tell me, as your pastor, more about you, I don't know. And I will never know. Well, that was also true of Jesus. Even though people knew that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judea, that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, that he had lived in Nazareth with his parents until the age of 30, and that later on in life, Jesus became a respected teacher and rabbi and prophet, not only through his teachings and preaching, and especially his miraculous signs and wonders. Very few people knew who Jesus really was. As a matter of fact, Jesus even asked his own disciples a question. Remember? Who do people say that I am? And what was their response? John the Baptist? Others, Elijah? And still others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So they really didn't know who Jesus was. Even his own disciples weren't quite sure about who Jesus was either. This became quite evident when Jesus asked them the other question, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Only one of them, Peter, knew apparently the answer to his question when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet they still didn't know who Jesus was, as they expected him to become the new king of the Jews and not as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The thought of Jesus suffering and dying on the cross was not on their political, religious agenda. They couldn't see Jesus suffering, dying, instead of becoming their new king, the one who would take care of all of their needs in life. That was also true of Saul. At first, he didn't know who Jesus was either. As he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ until his conversion on the road to Damascus, when a light flashed down from heaven and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And how did Saul respond to that voice coming down from heaven? He asked, who are you, Lord? And the voice responded immediately saying, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And as Paul Harvey used to say, now we know the rest of the story, don't we? Yes, we do. As Saul then became a great apostle, ambassador for Jesus Christ, and began to preach in the synagogues, proclaiming that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. As a matter of fact, a few days after Saul's conversion, and he had preached in Jerusalem, the Jews were already plotting to kill him. Suddenly, instead of persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, he was being persecuted himself for proclaiming, confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord of his life and as the Son of God. He experienced firsthand what it meant to suffer all loss for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said about it. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not only a knowledge of facts about Jesus Christ as his Savior, but also a knowledge he gained himself through his own experience as an apostle for Jesus Christ as his Lord. The words of St. Paul in our text for today, that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection. Not only that, but that I may share his sufferings, becoming like Jesus in his death. As a matter of fact, just like Jesus suffered persecution at the hands of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law during his 3-year public ministry, St. Paul also suffered persecution at the hands of the same Jewish religious leaders and other enemies of the cross during his ministry as an apostle and ambassador for Jesus Christ. And yet Paul never, ever gave up. On the contrary, the more sufferings he experienced, the more determined he was to fulfill his ministry, his calling, even if it meant dying for the sake of Jesus Christ as his Savior. This is what Paul said in our text for today. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. As a matter of fact, St. Paul made it very clear, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. And that is also true of us today as we get to know Jesus better ourselves. Not only as our Savior, but also as the Lord of our life. This is what Jesus preached in his Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Yes, it's more than just giving lip service. Lord, Lord. It's about bearing fruit for Jesus, so that people around us will recognize us for our good works in response to the love of Jesus. What Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross on Mount Calvary as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, at the end of the day, it is always about getting to know Jesus and him crucified. It's never about us, our good works, our self-righteousness. It's all about our faith, our trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. This was always St. Paul's goal and motto in his life, in his ministry, that I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. The words of St. Paul in our text for today, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes, brothers and sisters, I hope and I pray that that is also our goal in life, to be followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, not only members at Shepherd in the Pines, but followers, disciples of the Master in our own walk and faith in Him as our personal Savior and the Lord of our life. The words we sang in the hymn of the day, am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us here at Shepherd in the Pines as we place all of our trust, all of our faith in Jesus and the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Jesus, my Lord, I press on toward the goal to win, the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you in your walk, your faith, your trust in Jesus, as you get to know Him better yourselves as your Lord, your Savior, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, strengthen us and preserve us in our faith unto life everlasting. Amen.